Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Okay, say yeah, Dave.
Whatever.
Whatever, Dave.
It's the Whatever, Dave Radio Network, wherever fine podcasts are ignored.
Fellas.
Yeah.
Whatever, Dave.
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, we're back in the prod studio here after our fill-in stint on All Talk with Tom Jordan and Kevin Dietz, which was a lot of fun. It's tough, though. You know, those 3 hours are a lot different than these 37 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like having to prepare for, like, 8 book reports in one day. But it's a lot of fun. We had a great time. You know, I get such a charge of like, actually doing a topic and, like, people calling in. Like, they care enough to pick up the phone and talk to these three doofuses who they've never heard of.
So. Especially on a holiday.
Doofus is being the operative word.
Yeah.
Doofus and Glenn.
I would agree.
Doofy? Is it doofy?
I believe that's the Latin.
Is that multiple doofuses?
Yeah.
Doofy?
Yes. That's the Anglo-Saxon derivative.
It's my Christian name.
That's right. My government name, yes. Well, we're back. We're very excited. And I think, the show was weekly for a while. I think we're going to, maybe every 3 weeks. It's not quite every week, but it's not quite once a month. It's a little bit more frequent than that. So thanks for sticking with us. And it's weird, you know, 2021 and 2022 was such a bat spit crazy period, 2 years of news, and it feels like it's kind of slowed down here at the beginning of 2023, which means that the world's either going back to being a little more sane, or we're really in for it later on this year.
I hope you're wrong.
You know, because you know, I'm starting to worry. You know, maybe it wasn't 2020 was crazy. Maybe the 2020s are going to be crazy.
I remember you. I remember you supporting that, spouting that theory.
Yeah. So we'll enjoy the calm before the storm here while we can. To be honest, to me, at least on my social media feeds, the biggest story seems to be, have you guys seen these memes of this female police officer all over the place?
And yeah, what's up with that?
And all the memes make suggestions of promiscuity.
Yeah.
Well, so I did a little research here because
promiscuity.
Well,
or the lady
of the lady.
Okay.
You know, I hate not being in on an inside joke.
Yeah.
And this was an inside joke that the entire internet was in on, other than
Uh-oh.
Me. So I guess this was a big. This was and continues to be a big scandal out in the a small town, a suburb of Nashville, where this woman in the memes, she is Megan Hall. She is a female police officer for this police department, and she has been fired along with 5 other officers because they were all getting it on.
Oh, my.
On the clock and off the clock.
Hmm.
So 5 officers have been fired. 3 have been suspended. I guess so there were 8 people involved in this weird police department-wide sexcapade here.
Hmm.
And
some internal affairs going on.
Yeah, right. And affairs are the operative word because she's married. A lot of these police officers are married.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. And I mean, look, normally in private business, if people get it on the clock, I don't care. Do what you need to do. But I think.
You really?
Well,
you're okay with people doing it on the company dime?
As long as it's not the taxpayer dime, which I think is which I think is one of the big outrages here.
OK,
is that a lot of these rendezvous happened off the clock, but they also happened on the clock.
Right, right.
And
when they could have been patrolling.
Right.
Or serving and protecting.
Right. I mean.
Well, they were serving. They just. Who knows?
Right. Well, and the thing, I mean, you're a police officer. You need to be ready to spring into action at a moment's notice.
Well, that's true.
Right, not that kind of spring into action.
Wow!
And it really goes to show you that these Pornhub storylines.
Oh, yeah.
in the real world, they have real disastrous consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have the right to remain aroused.
Right, which it sounds like they did. But here's my other thing. You know, and this may sound like an empty point, but how come it's this woman being memed? There were 8 other people involved in this, but of course, she's the one whose face is being plastered all over the internet. Memes, by their nature, are kind of mean-spirited.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this woman obviously probably has an addiction.
So you think the other fellas should be held accountable?
I think so. And their pictures are up on the internet, but they're not being memed.
It's the website where you see all the police officers. Those are the only how many, they're file photos.
What is the what's the breakdown of the genders of these police officers?
So it's eight men and this one woman.
Really?
And look, the obvious.
Well, that's obviously why she's
right.
She's the face of this.
Right, but you know, who knows? How you doing, Dave? Who knows if these other male police officers, if they were sleeping with other people in the department?
Sure. There's a lot of internal affairs going on.
Now, it was
I love saying internal affairs.
And she was obviously so involved because, you know, females are the minority on a police force.
Yeah.
But if there were an equal amount of male to mm-hmm. female police officers, mm-hmm. don't you think these guys, if they had the opportunity, would be sleeping with multiple coworkers if the opportunity presented themselves?
Oh, yeah.
Probably. And then, you know, the other thing that kind of disturbs me a little bit is one of the memes going around is this young woman, Megan Hall. She's in the foreground of the picture holding like some kind of award. And then behind her are like 5 other police officers at this ceremony. And I don't think all 5 of those police officers were involved in these escapades.
Ah.
Yet their faces.
Oh, they're associated with the picture.
Right.
Oh no.
So.
It's not libel or.
Slander, maybe.
What is it? There's a specific term when you use a picture like that, like below a headline or in front of a headline.
Yeah.
I forget.
Libel might be it.
There's something.
But yeah, I mean, could you imagine you come home from work? It's all over the news. Everyone at your place of work is sleeping together.
Uh-oh.
And then these memes come out, and you're just an innocent bystander, and your face is plastered behind all these other sex addicts.
I think I'd kind of like that.
Yeah. Well, as a single man, it might actually, you know, raise your
sure.
stock, but imagine being a married guy.
Any press is good press, Michael.
Right. It's like, honey, I'm in the meme, but I'm a victim of circumstance. And then you got to snitch on the other 8 people. No, it was Tom, it was Dick, it was Harry, it was Tim, yada, yada, yada.
I think I would like that.
Yeah.
I'd just be in the background there.
Right.
It's like, I don't need to be a prominent person.
Right.
Like, is my face, do I look guilty in the photo?
Right. Yeah, you just like to be included.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, of course, the internet, we are all 12 years old on the internet, and we can't help ourselves from making memes out of a little police sex scandal.
That's interesting, because I just saw a statistic today that said a very high percentage of people by age 13 have been exposed to pornography online.
Yeah.
Like a high percentage,
yeah.
Like something like 60-some percent. So,
it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's very accessible, so not surprised that this story would have the legs that it has.
Think of how easy it was to find that stuff when we were kids.
I remember when I was 8 years old. I found a Playboy.
Did you?
And I was the most popular kid on the block.
Right.
People were wondering why people were coming in and out of the house. And then my mom called all of the parents
to let
them know. And most of them just laughed.
That was a turning point in your life.
And I remember my brother saying, "Don't worry, Mom. I'll make sure he never gets this again. I'll take care of
right.
it." And then he took the Playboy.
Right. That's very very magnanimous of him.
Right.
All right, Dave. Let's get into your stack of stuff.
Very interesting story to start out tonight. Centers around DeWitt, Michigan. I don't know if any of you have been to DeWitt.
Spent my 38th honeymoon there.
But
out the
this gentleman named Steve Glue.
Steve Glue?
G-L-E-W, Glue. there's a Netflix documentary coming out tomorrow about him, and it's called Pez Outlaw.
January 19th.
Correct, January 19th.
Because we don't know what time someone's listening
so,
to
yeah,
us.
So January 19th. This is called Pez Outlaw.
Like the candy, P-E-Z?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And what this story, this documentary is about, it's about Steve Glue, who found a way to make a lot of money selling knockoff Pez dispensers in the United States that he snuck in from all over Europe.
Wow.
So apparently, back in the 90s.
Contraband Pez.
Yeah, apparently back in the 90s, there was Pez USA.
Wow.
And then there was Pez International, and they operated very independently of each other.
Were they rivals?
Who knew?
Has a great job.
Wow.
So the president, okay, decided what came in. This is a real thing.
The president
decided what came into the U.S. and what didn't. And all the collectors in the United States wanted Pez stuff from Europe.
Right.
Okay.
So wait, is this president? Is the president in charge of Pez USA or Pez International or both?
Each one had a difference. So there was apparently, from what I understand.
In Europe, would it be a Pez minister?
I don't know.
I think so.
I'm not sure. But what happened was, so Steve Glue, he went right to the Pez factories overseas and had them make what's known as misfits. Essentially, knockoff Pez by the millions.
Like instead of Superman, it's like Special Man.
Right.
Instead of the Smurfs, it's the Turfs.
So he brought them back to the United States and then sold them on the black market.
Wow.
So apparently there was a black market for Pez dispensers, all right? And how did he get away with this? Well, from what we understand...
Because law enforcement, the only thing that's a bigger waste of time for law enforcement than... cracking down on black market Pez is a nine person sex group,
right? Well, Pez doesn't verify through customs, so he was able to bring in anything, and nothing was blocked from coming in, and that's how he was getting all the Pez through.
So.
Okay.
Go ahead, Richard.
A lot of these were European Pez.
Yeah, but they were fake.
I'd like to get my hands on a Margaret Thatcher.
You know,
wouldn't that be cool?
Oh,
the and, Iron but, Lady but Pez.
Boutros Ghali
right,
Pez.
But Steve says that technically the products were technically Pez because they were coming from the Pez factories in Europe.
So how much time was this guy facing for selling bootleg Pez?
I don't necessarily know if he's going to face any time at
chair.
All.
Sounds like a victimless
crime. Because from what I understand in the documentary is that he becomes kind of like the anti-hero.
He's the Robin Hood of Pez.
People start to feel bad for him because he was just doing it to make money for his family.
Well, he was a peasant.
Right. From peasant to president.
Wow!
You realize that according to Jim Blaine of Heartland, Michigan, who owns one of the largest Pez collections in the world.
Been there many
and
times.
Also has been... Now, did you guys know that...
I didn't.
He also runs one of the largest Pez conventions in the world, which has been taking place in Metro Detroit since 2016. I had no idea.
Of course I knew that, Dave. Everybody knows that.
Anyway, he says that in the you watch the movie, and at the end you realize it's a love story about Glue and his wife, Kathy.
Yeah.
And how she's portrayed in the film. She's very kind, and she says that, you know...
She's very kind.
This was about... Him just trying to bring in money for the family.
I'd like to see this documentary.
So thanks, baby, for holding it down on the outside while I'm serving time for bootleg Pez.
I don't necessarily know if he's in the jail or I don't know what's going on, but I'm super interested to watch this documentary that may drop maybe tonight at midnight on the 19th or maybe at some point. And
what's the platform? It's dropping
Netflix.
On?
Netflix. And it's a doc. It's called The Pez Outlaw.
Oh man.
So I'm thinking you guys, I want to watch this.
I do too.
If this guy does any time for any of this,
give him the chair.
I have no faith in our legal system.
They need to fry him.
You know, I saw a clip in the trailer in which a lady was like, The most I've ever spent on a on one Pez dispense $11,000.
Wow.
$11,000.
What an idiot.
Excuse me, sir.
I mean, what?
This is the Bart Simpson with the red shirt, not the unlicensed blue shirt that we sell in the USA.
Oh, right. That's right.
You're under, right? Because remember Bart Simpson?
Yeah,
in the merchandise, he would have a blue shirt.
I remember that.
Like Beavis and Butthead.
It was so strange.
On the show, Butthead had an AC/DC shirt. Beavis had Metallica, but in their merchandise, it was Skull and Death Rock.
Right.
So, well, I wish this guy well. And
yes.
And it sounds like he was breaking a stupid law to begin with. So he's a folk hero as far as I'm concerned.
I'd like to see him get the chair or firing squad.
I think that, you know, anybody who's a fan of collecting Pez dispensers or a fan of the candy from the 90s, I think this is a documentary for them to watch.
No, this guy's got to go.
I got to tell you, though.
I'm sick of him.
My Pez never made it to the dispenser. Or if I did, I would just eat it right away.
No, yeah, right.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
Yeah. Anyway.
You loved Pez.
Yeah, Pez is nice. All right, next topic. That's me.
Yes, it is.
So Valentine's Day is coming up. And I'm bringing this up early because we're not on a normal schedule anymore, so I don't know if we're going to be on again before Valentine's Day or not. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a married guy. I like Valentine's Day. I don't know how you guys feel. Even when I was single, I didn't mind Valentine's Day because if I didn't have anyone to spend it with, at least I was, like, saving money.
Yeah.
And, and you know what? Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day is every day, guy. You can save it because obviously that guy's never been in a long-term relationship. I don't know what kind of job he has, but I don't have celebrate Valentine's Day every day of the year type money.
Me either.
Yeah. But one of the things that I saw being heavily advertised on Facebook is Eloise, the old insane asylum out in Westland, is putting on some kind of Valentine's Day event. And, of course, they have the haunted house out there. And, you know, I got to say, I'm not a big fan of taking the history of Eloise, all of the human suffering, all the atrocities that happened in our mental health system when Eloise was operational, and commoditizing it and making it a tourist attraction.
I would agree with that.
I mean, if you believe in bad mojo, that's a surefire way to attract some bad mojo.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because you've been to Salem, Massachusetts.
Yes.
And you've gone to those things.
That's true.
Is that not kind of monetizing those people who were killed who really weren't witches?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on sort of what you do. To me, Salem, there are a lot of tourist traps around there.
Uh-huh.
But there's also a lot of history.
Sure.
I don't mind if someone wants to take a historical tour around Eloise.
Okay, to learn more.
Yeah, you know, there in Salem, Massachusetts, there are certain kind of kitschy tourist traps, but you know, there's also a lot of history there and a lot of lessons
you say
to
for
learn
for the sake of education.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, look, it is a little recreational. I mean, it's not like I'm there like studying for a thesis, but
no.
You know, it's about respecting the history, and I think that making a haunted house out and evoking sort of the horrors of yesteryear, it's not let those souls rest.
I agree, in peace.
Yes. Now,
what are they going to be doing at Eloise for Valentine's
Day? That's really none of our business.
There's going to be. Let me see if I can.
Is this some
find
kind
it.
Of dinner or some kind of?
It's going to be very romantic.
Some kind of party.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me find the.
Like, come to Eloise for a romantic dinner at the old mental asylum.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm just going to read here right from the listing on this Facebook group. Bloody Valentine's at Eloise Asylum. This is a time-ticketed experience to minimize waiting. Please arrive at your ticket time promptly. Upon arrival, couples and guests can enjoy music, snacks for purchase, and character and photo experiences at our lounge. Guests will then head up to floor 3, where they can take part in interactive challenges, win prizes, or maybe even explore their future with our tarot cards or fortune tellers. Which, look, if I were like a psychic or like sensitive to any of that stuff, I would stay far away from this place.
That's how you know if they're real.
Right. Upon making their way to the 4th floor, guests will have a chance to search for paranormal activity on one of those most haunted floors in the building, all while using real ghost hunting equipment. That's how you get ghosts to follow you home.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, guests will descend a forgotten stairway to the first floor and proceed into the award-winning Eloise Asylum Haunted Attraction, which has been revamped for the Valentine's Day event. Essentially, it seems like it's the haunted house with a few more.
Am I the only one who hates who just can't stand psychics?
I don't know. I literally
cannot.
Do you think they're like scamming you?
Yeah,
or what?
Yeah, it's all crap. I mean, literally, I worked with a bunch of these people.
I remember you telling.
Yeah, it's a joke. These guys are all got their shtick, and I get annoyed.
I love shtick.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of what they tell you. I'm not a fan of
There's
how
There's got to be some, though, that
I'm not,
are like...
I'm not a fan of how they say that they get the... Everybody's got a different way that they talk to the,
spirits.
To the spirits and how they get them to...
There's got
to
be some that are legit, though, probably.
That's ridiculous.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think there
I'll never forget the one guy that was like, he would talk to you, like he would see, like, all the people that have died that would stand behind you and tell stuff to him about you. Like, give me a break. No. And then his voice would get real loud.
Look, just because no one loves you enough to talk to you from beyond the grave doesn't mean that these people are fake.
Dave, you suck.
I love you, Dave. I talk to you from beyond the grave. I go, see, Dave, I told you these psychics were real.
Remember we met that nice young lady, Michael, who claimed to have psychic powers.
Yeah.
She had to step out several times.
Right, because it was very intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of bull.
I mean, sure, there's, of course, you got your Miss Cleos out there who are grifting.
They're charlatans.
Yeah, but, you know, there's got to be some legit ones out there.
I think there's people who are in tune with the afterlife. And you don't really believe in metaphysics, do you, Dave?
It's all a bunch of nonsense.
You think it's hooey?
Hokey. That's all a bunch of nonsense.
Mm. All right. Well, then, Dave, you go and spend Valentine's Day by yourself at Eloise and tell us all about it.
I don't need to go spend it now, by myself at Eloise on Valentine's Day, but thanks.
Now, Eloise has been in the news because they just got a grant from the state of Michigan, a brownfield grant, which means that they've been given special funding to clean up some contamination in the soil to redevelop the site.
Oh, that's good.
And they're going to make it – I think they're going to keep the haunted attraction. – They're going to put a hotel in there, which no way I'm staying at Eloise, and a 1920s speakeasy. Now, now, like I said, hopefully they do this tastefully and are sensitive to the families who still live in the area who may have had some people stay at Eloise. Because, you know, like up in Traverse City, they did it the right way. Traverse City, they had a huge abandoned asylum that stayed laid dormant for like decades, and they revamped it. There's like shops and restaurants in it, and it's tastefully done, so it can be tastefully redeveloped. But I don't know. I think you need to leave the shtick alone and just let the souls that are there just rest in peace.
Not to offend the lovely residents of Westland, but when your two big events are the Stupid Light Fest and Eloise, I don't know what you got going on, okay?
Wow, Dave.
Uh-oh. All right.
No offense.
Whoa.
You know,
it's actually kind of serious, Dave.
Yeah, I hope you never find yourself with a flat tire or needing of assistance in Westland. Next topic. I can't even look at you.
Well, I got to tell you, who doesn't like when real life imitates Hollywood?
I love it.
But in this next story out of Stockholm, so Sweden's center-right coalition government, they want to cut red tape when it comes to dancing. Yes, dancing.
Oh. Wow.
By abolishing a decade-old requirement for restaurants, nightclubs, and other venues.
Dave, you're reading the plot of Footloose. This isn't a news story.
This is a news story. I know, this is hilarious. To obtain permits before you let patrons dance.
Oh.
Oh.
So what it is, it's a proposal made. It means that, exactly. Is this the music they're playing at Eloise in the speakeasy, isn't
it? Yeah. Whoa.
Yes.
This is freaking me out, man.
So this proposal means that the venues no longer would need a license to organize dances.
Huh.
Instead, as a general rule, they would only have to register with the police, which can be done verbally and does not cost anything. Right now, it costs $67 for the establishment, as the owners can lose their liquor license and their business's liquor license if the police officers come by and find out that the venue does not have authorization to let patrons dance.
So wait a second. You can have a liquor license to serve alcohol.
Yes.
A drug that impairs people's judgment and makes it dangerous for them to drive. So, but if they're caught dancing
without the proper requirements,
right?
Yes,
then they get into legal trouble.
Correct.
Huh. What is it? Is this some kind of antiquated like public decency law?
It says here that according to the Justice Minister Gunnar Stromer, okay. He says
that's
that
what I would imagine a justice minister's
in Sweden's
name to be.
By removing the requirement for a dance permit, we also reduce the bureaucracy and the costs for entrepreneurs and others who organize the dances.
Wow.
So they're trying to save these entrepreneurs the $67.
Ah. Well, welcome to the 1940s. Sweden.
Exactly. So the proposal is proposed to having maybe change take effect on July 1st, although it requires parliamentary approval. Huh. But my thing is this not, you're right, this is actually the plot to Footloose. It's hilarious.
I would love to hear what
I read this story and I was like, really?
I'm gonna look up to see if I can find the theme from Footloose in Swedish.
Oh.
I've been double Footloose. Let's see. Footloose.
You know, you know what I think of when I hear this music is
what's that?
The Shining.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because they played this whenever he walked into the bar to talk to the ghost bartender.
Midnight
and they were always playing like this type of Glenn Miller in the mood type music.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to figure out how far back this law goes.
It's only a decade old law.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they said.
What happened in 2013 that made them outlaw dancing in
John
Sweden?
Lithgow decided that some kids got into a crash on a bridge in Sweden, and there we know more that you'll need to get a requirement for dancing.
Where did Footloose take place? Texas?
Yeah, somewhere in the south, yeah.
He was exiled from Texas, went over to Sweden to impose his anti-dancing agenda.
It's hilarious. I just thought to myself, it's real life imitating Hollywood.
Right.
It's great.
Right.
Great story. Hilarious.
So I don't know about you guys, but one of the most jarring things that can happen to you is when a change is made to your newscast.
Like what newscast?
Whatever newscast you watch, you watch Channel 4 at 11.
Okay,
you watch Fox 2 at 10, and over the past year, there's been a lot of changes. Obviously, Huel and Monica retired. It's been a lot of change.
That's what happened to them.
Yeah, there's been a lot of changes over at Channel 4, and I got to tell you, I got to stop getting attached to weather people.
Oh.
When I get favorite weather people, they're gone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Michael Estime on Fox 2 on the weekends.
Yeah.
Him and Charlie Langton, we're a great team. He got called up to the network. And I'm in the minority here. A lot of people seem to be lukewarm on Brandon Rue, the Channel 4 meteorologist in the morning.
You've always championed him.
I have. Yeah, he kind of reminds me if you were doing the weather.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
And Channel 4 has been doing all these revamps over to their weather department and stuff. They brought back Kim Adams after Ben Bailey left because he didn't want to get
the vaccine.
And they brought back Ashley Barrasi, who started doing traffic. Wow. She went to Columbus. She came back. I was happy to see it because, back when she was doing traffic, that's when I was working the early morning shift, so I'd watch the news every day. Ah. But it came at the expense of her mentor, Brandon Rue.
Oh.
And
what are you going to do? What are you going to? You rule the day.
So, anytime there's a change in a newscast, I'm like, okay, I'm going to give it 6 months.
Oh.
However, I don't watch local 4 news mornings every day. So I don't know if I'll ever
get... You got to give it a year.
Right. I don't know if I'll ever get used to it.
Oh, you're in a conundrum there.
Well, I think people pick their newscasts based on, like, what's familiar. There's, you know, a lot of terrible things that happen in the world, and you want a nice, calming voice, a recognized friend that you see all the time.
Mm.
You know, it took me a while to make the transition from Huel and Monica to Roop and Taryn. But you know, it's finally becoming familiar to me.
Good.
And
now this.
And now this.
This jarring moment.
Can I please just get my bearings?
Yeah.
Can I please get my bearings?
You're still reeling from that.
Right. And, you know, the only transition to me that was easy to make was Brian Williams to Lester Holt, because Lester Holt had been filling in. For a while, but I don't know if that ever happens to you guys. Anytime there's a change made to whatever newscast you watch, you automatically hate the person because they're not the person that you're used to watching. It's kind of unfair, but it's a fact of life.
That happens to me when radio stations flip formats.
Right.
I remember when a big station in this area was essentially just a general talk station.
Right.
And not, then it switched to sports.
Right.
And I found that pretty jarring.
Yeah.
And I came to like the people, though.
Yeah. You know, having Dave's locally famous brother on that really kind of helped ease the transition. But,
sure.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Like,
I thought that you were going a different route with the Channel 4 weather person that...
Oh, and
is
Paul
living.
Gross is retiring.
That's who I thought you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know you and Brandon were. I know you've always been tight.
I mean, Paul will still... he will be like weather emeritus guy, and they gave him a special title. And in texting with him... He also
a little bit of a name drop here. Huh?
Well, let me pick that name.
Well,
up,
I'm
Dave.
Very good friends with him.
Yeah, and, that up, please.
And he still will be available for interviews. Because,
oh, really?
Because he's a very good interview when we have him.
Be a good get for this show.
So,
yeah.
You know, if you want to talk,
see if you can pull some strings.
If you want to talk weather,
fill in for one of us.
If you want to talk weather,
You know, I like.
But after 40 years. Doing it. It's pretty impressive, you know.
I do like Paul Gross. I like
two scores.
I like how he's kind of like, he's kind of not like the super polished weather nerd who's very passionate about what he does. Except the thing is, like, Paul Gross, he was on TV most of the time as like a fill-in.
Yeah.
So, like, it was good to see him when he was on.
Now, Brandon Rue got fired?
He didn't get fired. Well, he essentially got fired. He's been moved to Sunday mornings.
Okay.
From doing every weekday morning.
Got
he was importing illegitimate Pez.
Right. They're waiting for it to blow over.
That'll do it for you.
I already know
you're thinking about bringing this.
Yeah.
The Pez phenomena back, Rich. So
I love Pez. You know I love Pez.
So you know I'll give the new crew some time, but I don't know. One of the hardest changes to adjust to on television, I think, is the newscast you watch every day.
I find it impressive that you're still watching local news. I don't know a lot of people that watch a lot of local news. Most people will get their stuff via social media or you know, different websites. So that's impressive that you're still you're still giving the time to the local newscast.
I think local news is probably the most objective news source we have left.
And look at you watching like NBC Network News with Lester Holt. Not a David Muir fan, I take it.
No, you know what? For some reason, in my adult life, I've always been a Fox 2 at 10 o'clock and Channel 4 the rest of the time.
All right.
No disrespect to 7. It just never became part of my habit.
You know what crew I could never get used to?
Who's that?
The 2 Live crew?
Saved by the Bell, the new class.
Okay, oh, yeah.
No thanks.
With Mike Golick's brother.
No thanks.
Screech was still around because...
Screech R.I.P. Yes.
Yeah. Screech, right. Well, Belding made sense. He was the principal, but Screech was still hanging around. Yeah, the news class. The new class was a money grab.
It was lame, man. No thanks.
It was hella lame.
Yeah, man.
Next topic, Dave.
All right, this is an interesting story out of Columbia,
South Carolina.
Some of the more powerful lawmakers in South Carolina are backing a proposal to allow officers to pull over people who drive too slow in the left lane of major roads.
Good.
So if you're driving too slow, you may get pulled over, and they're calling it
obstruction of traffic.
They're calling it the slow poker, the slow poke rule, yeah. or the slow poke law.
Mm. And, I mean that can be dangerous too, just as dangerous as speeding.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And it says here that traffic is impeded by those that linger in the left lane. So the House version would have a fine of $200, and it would add 2 points to an offender's driver's license, the same penalty for speeding less than 10 miles an hour over the speed limit.
That's pretty harsh, I got to say.
Yeah, I think so. Well, and it's only the left lane, so if you're doing this the right lane, knock yourself out.
Okay.
Right.
Because that's what I do. I got to say, I am one of these drivers people hate in the snow. I don't care if you're behind me and you are just pissed off at me. If I feel like I have to go 15 under the speed limit in the right lane during an ice storm, I'm going to do that.
Because you don't have those headlights.
I'll never forget.
You don't have headlights.
I've got multiple issues,
I'll never forget one night I was driving home in the Livonia area from a poker game. Mm.
DWD and, driving while Dave.
That's right.
I got pulled over on 8 Mile between Farmington and Middle Belt.
Very specific.
Dave, have you ever driven through a red light?
And where'd you get that from?
The officer who pulled you over. Anyway, his body cam footage.
Anyway,
have you ever driven through a red light?
I got pulled over by a female officer.
Glad I got to use that.
A very attractive female officer, I might add.
Was it the one from Tennessee?
She pulled me over for driving too slow and then called another cop, and I had to, for backup.
Oh, they always, usually do call for backup for speeding,
I was not speeding, driving too slow.
Too slow.
For traffic stops.
And then
they
proceeded
do.
To search my car while I had to stand with the other cop
Are
by
you
that car.
Me?
They probably thought you were on the wacky tobacco.
Well, it was something, it was like 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
And so.
It was probably being...
They let me go with nothing. They let me go with no ticket or anything, and they just said, we drive the speed limit. You know, you don't have to. Right. You don't have to drive slow because
you got
she
pulled
said,
over for going too slow.
Yeah, because she said,
"Sir,
that
we're not going to arrest you because we said, pity you too much."
She said that what had happened. I made myself look like I was trying to hide something.
Right, like you were like you were drunk and you're driving slow.
Like I was driving slow when I saw her pull behind me.
Full cavity search.
By the way, I feel like a lot of people are driving just fine until they see a police car behind them and following them. Yeah. And then they get nervous and they end up, breaking a traffic law.
They say that you're not supposed to, like when you're driving, you're not supposed to slam on the brakes. You're supposed to just like kind of just take off, come to a natural, slower pace.
Dave, have you ever driven through a red light?
Have you guys ever had to take a breath?
Of course.
Have you guys ever had to take a breathalyzer?
Yes, I have had to take a breath.
Really?
Yes. That was another great story.
You're full of them.
It was
full of something.
We were back. This was back in the days of, if you remember, the Have a Nice Day Cafe, Tiki Bob's, and Pontiac clubs.
David just done body shots off of three interns.
I was the designated driver. For my friend, my brother and his two friends, and we were driving my brother's car. I got pulled over because his turn signal didn't work. Orchard Lake Road, right in front of West Bloomfield High School. And
thank you for all these details.
The officer takes me out of the car and said, makes me recite the alphabet forwards and backwards. Reciting the alphabet backwards when you're sober is tough.
I can't do it sober.
Then he says to me, he was not being very nice.
Oh.
He had me walk the line, and then he says, "You take a breathalyzer test." So I said, "Okay." So I took the breathalyzer, and I had
Poor
not had
Dave.
Anything to drink.
Poor Dave.
It came zero. Then he was very nice. He's like, "Okay, get your friends back home safe." I got in the car. They're cracking up. They think it's the funniest thing ever. And they're like, "All right, time to go to Ramshorn." And they wanted to go to Ramshorn.
Right after we
just got to go through all this whole thing.
Oh my gosh.
So then we had to take them to Ramshorn so they could get some food. But it was it was interesting how nice the cop became after.
Yeah, he saw that you were
that I was sober and responsible. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're right, Dave. That was a great story. I don't see how we can top that. So let's just wrap it up. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in 3 to 4 weeks. Bye.
Dave, have you ever driven through?